I think the first thing everyone asks me is, why do I have so much pink tape on my gear? I do that so the athletes can see me. And so I get those different images of them kind of pointing at me, saying hi to me, because I've spotted the pink tape. You know, like, especially these games, the athletes didn't have their friends and family in the crowd. So when they see you, it's really nice for them, because it's like, oh, friends.
Alicia Loveridge is as much an athlete as she is a photographer. And because of this, she has an innate understanding of what the people on the other end of her lens are going through, allowing her to see what other photographers can't, and most importantly, gain the trust and respect of her subjects. Today, we'll be hearing how Alicia combined her two passions into an exciting career that has taken her to events all over the world, not least of which was the latest Olympic Games in Tokyo.
So actually funny, I never really had an interest in photography growing up. I was more into drawing, painting, kind of design vibe in the visual arts space. And so I then did a Bachelor of Design at AUT, and first year of design, photography is actually compulsory. And so the only reason I started photography was because I had to. So I reluctantly bought a camera, all that, and I instantly fell in love, because suddenly everything I've learned my whole life in the 2D space of visual art, where it's composition, color theory, lines, everything like that, it all translated into this medium where suddenly I had a tool that could almost, like, it was a lot more immediate than I'm used to. You know, like, when you're doing a piece of art, you have to draw the damn thing, or you have to paint the thing. Whereas in photography, all your basic, like, your subjects and everything's like right there, and you're capturing a moment, and then of course you can build that scene, or, you know, work into editing and stuff like that. So I straight away fell in love and thought, like, I actually really like this, and it kind of just progressed from there.
Interesting. Yeah, I've got a similar experience where came up through, like, visual arts and painting and animation. And I did illustration at AUT.
Yeah, so
I just found things easier with photography. It just was like totally what you're saying around, like, all those basic techniques around composition and stuff just translated so much easier for me through the camera rather than through drawing and stuff. So I think sort of quite similar in that regard.
Yeah. Real similar, yeah. So I wanted to go down the illustration path as well in design.
And so what was the kind of breakthrough for you in terms of, like, getting into the sort of the world of professional photography, professional sports photography? Did it start off with sports?
It kind of, well, my first, like, paid work was the classic 21st.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the first, you know, like, everyone, I feel so many people have done that. But I think with sport, so I'm an athlete myself, I've been so, like, my whole life. And one year, I think it was the first year of uni. So I had this camera, was using it and doing assignments, which weren't really sport based at all, kind of just taking photos of my friends, doing whatever the assignment asked me to do. And we had our national championship. So I do athletics, and I was injured, and so I decided that I'll take this camera to the track and take photos of my friends. No accreditation or anything like that. I just in New Zealand, it's pretty easy. You can kind of just walk in, and you can, like, walk around the bank and everything at the track. This was at Mount Smart Stadium in Onehunga. So I just did that, took photos of my friends, put them on Facebook for my friends, and then people started to see it. And I know Athletics Auckland then said, like, hey, this is really cool. If you ever want to take photos again, they pretty much gave me a pass to go into the track and take photos of any Athletics Auckland event that I wanted to, which was an amazing time for me just to go in and have a play, you know, when I wasn't competing, and taking pictures of my friends and everything like that. And eventually my federation, so the national governing body, Athletics New Zealand, saw my work. And it kind of just went from there. In terms of, I feel like that was, like, my starting to get into athletics photography. So I mainly just did athletics to start with because that was my sport. And then in 2016, I photographed our national championships, and I then got spotted to photograph World Masters Games, which was in Auckland, 2017, I think. And so from there, that was really cool. I got an opportunity to shoot a bunch of other sports and everything like that, get my name out there, got to meet a whole bunch of other sports photographers, which was fantastic. And I think, but my biggest break in terms of international, so in 2017, we had the World Athletics Champs, and essentially, so each country can get a pass, like an accreditation to go. And I knew we would have had one at least. And so I pretty much just asked my federation, like, hey, can I have it? Mm. And so like, there was no budget. There was nothing like that. I'd finished studying. So I did a Bachelor of Graphic Design at AUT, and then I did a postgrad diploma in communications where I did digital media and TV. I don't know. I kind of use it maybe. But anyway, so I'd finished that. And I had then no studies suddenly for this year, and I decided, like, hey, I really want to go. Like, I hadn't traveled yet, and I thought this was a really good opportunity to travel as well as, like, grow my skills as a photographer. So I just, like, dropped cash and went.
Yeah.
And it was the best decision I made because I grew as a photographer. Like, you really have to step up in those international environments. And London was the best one to start with because everything was real accessible to shoot. They had the same layout as the Olympics, 2012 Olympics as well. And it was just easy to get around. London's piece of cake, English-speaking country. Everything was super easy. So it's my first major that was perfect. And I've discovered that's been the easiest one to photograph since then. But, yeah, and then I kind of proved myself as a photographer, post my picture on Instagram, and then, like, I would give them to Athletics New Zealand as well. You know, they gave me the pass and everything. And it just kind of grew from there. Like, I started to get more and more noticed and doing more work in New Zealand for sport. And then not only the actual events, but jumping more into, like, the sport commercial space and PR space, which is the space that I'm in a lot now. Yeah. And, yeah, I think it's just gone from there, which is cool. Yeah.
No, interesting. Really cool. And it's this sort of beautiful amalgamation of, like, just serendipity with you, like, finding photography, and then, like, combining with your passion for athletics and sports anyway, and then the sort of combo of taking opportunities but also fighting for opportunities, which I think is a really potent mix. And for creative people in their careers, like, that's useless. The people who are, like, you know, developing and doing stuff, that's exactly what they're doing. Both taking opportunities and fighting for them and making them as well, which is really
totally
cool. And I think that's probably a good segue to talk about, I guess, just whether you think there's any other aspect to the fact that you are yourself an athlete, photographing sports and sports people, whether you think you bring something different to the table compared to other photographers who, you know, don't know what these athletes are going through in the same way that you would.
Yeah, I do think it gives me a massive advantage, especially it's been shown when I'm on set working with an athlete for, like, a commercial gig. Even if you're not and you're not doing the same sport, it's the same language that you speak athlete. It's real interesting. Like, I've only picked up on it recently when you're able to understand certain terminology, you're able to communicate with the athlete, direct them in a certain way to get them to do what you want. And then you also create that really nice rapport that, like, I'm also one. And it's really cool because where I train, so I'm a pole vaulter, and in our facility, it's right next to high performance. And so quite often or not, like, our top athletes are going through all the time. And so quite often, sometimes I'll be on set, I go, oh, hi, I'm Alicia, and like, I think I've seen you in the gym. And I was like, yes, you have. You've seen me doing something stupid on a stick. Like, it's kind of like, you have.
Yeah.
But that's amazing to create that relationship with athletes and kind of getting their trust as well. Like, a lot of time when I'm shooting sport, I'm photographing for the team, so I'm on their side. And, yeah, it's just creating that relationship, which is absolutely lovely. I'm friends with so many elite athletes, which helps me understand the world that they're in as well. And so I feel like when I'm on the event side, like photographing the actual event, like the Olympics, I do notice that I get really like sucked in to the game, to the race, as if like it was there, and I was like, because that's my friend running and all that, and I feel that kind of helps, because I try bring that emotion that I'm experiencing like to my images.
In terms of like when you're photographing the events, I think you're right, there's an element of your understanding what they're going through leads to you focusing more about them and the story and what's happening, rather than like the technical aspects of a photo.
Yeah. I do like that side. Yeah. But like, obviously like, making art.
Yeah. That kind of stuff like is just, it's there, like ingrained in you, but you're just of like in the moment, what you're focusing on, you're like, you're waiting for the moment, and you're waiting for those emotions and things like that. And then also I think when it comes to like your commercial stuff, I think you're totally right about the trust being like, if you're in a commercial environment, like pushing this athlete or something, they're going to trust you pushing them more than a photographer who's never like done anything close to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're saying like, just like jump a bit higher or run a bit faster, or just like push harder, like they're going to know, like she knows what she's talking about. Like she can push and stuff. So I think that in itself, you bring a whole package of different elements, to your photography, being part of it yourself, I think is really interesting and something for photographers who photograph different niches to be aware of. Before we, I guess, transition to talking about the Olympics themselves that you've just come back from, I think it would be good to just have a quick little breakdown of what's in a sports photographer's kit, what's in your kit, and whether you've got any sort of unique items in your bag that sort of, you know, people might not think of.
I think the first thing everyone asks me is, why do I have so much pink tape on my gear?
Yes, actually,
it's a good, I'm going to answer that first, because everyone, like DMs blow up with like, why do you have so much pink? So there are two reasons. One is like, kind of a more an obvious one. Everyone's got the same gear. Mm. So hoods fall off, you put your camera down, you know it's yours. I dropped my camera into CPS so many times because I actually fell in the moat. I have a lovely bruise. It was just great. It wasn't on TV. But I was like, I might as well get my gear checked. And I lost my docket that had all my gear on it. It's like it was somewhere in my photo vest. And I just said, oh, it's the stuff that's got pink all over it.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it's fine. But the main reason is, so I'm friends with all my athletes, I'm friends with like all the athletes, like all the athletics and the team and stuff. And I do that so the athletes can see me.
Mm.
And so I get those different images of them kind of pointing at me, saying hi to me, because I've spotted the pink tape. And like the camera's in front of your face, so no way can they tell who you are unless you have something on your camera. And then, of course, I was wearing a mask the whole time. So that is added to it. No one can really tell who you are. And it gives a sense, like, you know, like especially these games, the athletes didn't have their friends and family in the crowd. They had their support team that was with them, but they didn't have their parents with them. They didn't have, you know, their partners with them. They so when they see you, it's really nice for them because it's like, oh, friend.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Which is cool. And even so I get those like cute pictures and like kind of special things that not many other people can get just because of the relationship I have with the athletes. So that's the first thing. Yeah. So that's the most
amazing
Alicia thing I've got.
Yeah.
And then apart from that, a lot of batteries, a lot of cards. my kit is actually, so I have a 1DX2. I have a 5D4 and a 5D3, and I mount them all. I have a 300 2.8 Mark II. I have a 70 to 200 2.8 Mark II, and I have the 24-70 2.8 Mark II. And so I use one of those harnesses, and so I find using a monopod for my style is a bit restricting. That obviously like goes out the window if I'm borrowing a massive prime. I'm going to use one, but in athletics there's a lot of moving around and there's a lot of swapping, And so for different angles and stuff. So I actually have everything handheld, and I have them on my camera, on my harness straps. And then I've got a waist bag thing, which I put my third body in, which is just like you sling it out if you find something cool or the athlete comes towards you and you need something wider. So another thing in the kit is those straps that are like a lifesaver. What else? Oh, the lens. You got to, especially in this humidity, the lenses were like fogging up heaps.
Yep.
So like remembering to like wipe them down all the time. Mm. And then of course just wiping them, because this is disgusting, but your hands are sweaty. Mm. And so your gear gets wet from your sweat. Yeah. Thank God the weather sealing on Canon is great. so you're fine. Also that the bodies are so robust, you're getting smashed around in the moat. And I'm like, you know, I come up against something a little smaller and I'm like, come on, bring it on.
You're
going to whack into my 1D. Ooh, what's going to come? You know, like there's meant to be social distancing, but when you're like, there's a corridor and you're trying to squish past people and everyone's in a hurry.
Yeah.
Like everyone's, totally. And everyone's just doing their own job. And so like you do whack each other, whack each other's gear a little bit. And so I'm confident. I'm like, it's fine.
Cool. Well, let's talk now about the Olympics themselves. We've sort of been dancing around them for a bit, talking about them a bit. But what's it like shooting the Olympics?
Oh, my God. So I can't actually explain it. Like it's interesting because I thought this is my first. And I thought maybe like I've been to two world champs and the Commonwealth Games. And the Commonwealth Games I went to was Gold Coast, so that felt like a home games. And so knowing I've been to those has been – so I was interested to see what the vibe was going to be like with no crowds. I don't know what they've done. So I think they just had really good sound engineers and a really good DJ because they made the atmosphere so good. It was like – it was – the atmosphere was insane. And I don't know, was it just – yes, they had sound effects. They had great – they had DJ who was like on point every time. Photographing Olympics is insane because you're living on adrenaline the whole time. Like you get, I was living off 2 to 6 hours sleep a night, 7 if I was lucky. And that was like a lucky like scheduling thing, but it was often it was like 3 or 4. But you wake up before your alarm because you've just witnessed something insane. And quite often you'll go to bed absolutely fizzing. Because of just what you're saying, like the whole atmosphere is just this, this like absolute like fizzball, like it's insane. Like I can't, it's just, it's like so much fun, and you get to meet the most incredible people, and you'll hang out, and you'll bond over the fact that you haven't slept, you're sore as hell, you're sweaty, you're hungry, you know, and you kind of, you all bond in that situation. You make friends in the moat, like standing next to people, and it's fantastic, and you're right, and as a photographer, like, we're right in, like, the thick of it. Like, kind of what I said before about being so close to the motion, and then, you know, these guys, like, winning Olympic gold, and you see this emotion, it's something that this athlete's worked towards their whole life, and then you're grabbing that in a frame. It's amazing. And so, and we're right next to the action.
And so, just to give us, like, a bit of a, like, some idea of what you go through, what's the sort of, What was a day in the life like for you? Like how much like photographing time? Like what sort of things do you have to cram into those crazy busy days?
Oh, okay. So I'm just gonna pull our day out. So you get up at God knows hour. Quite often you miss breakfast because sleep's important, or breakfast isn't out before you've had like breakfast isn't open in your hotel before you have to go. So quite often you've got something in your house, grab muesli bar, go. Either jump on the bus or taxi. So if I was going to, like I was really close to athletic track, so you just get in a cab and go, like one of the Olympic cabs. You arrive, you do want to arrive reasonably early to the track. It takes ages to get through security. And stadiums are massive, so you got to get your way through, and then you got to make a call on where you're going to go. So a lot of time, for example, the first event for athletics I had, we had Hamish Kerr, high jumper, jumping at 9:15 in the morning. I had a hockey game that started at 9:30 at night before, so that was a fun start. and you turn up, and the day before, like all the photo positions aren't ready yet. And so you want to get there early to try to figure out where you're going to go, knowing that if spots get full, especially with social distancing, you won't be able to stand there.
Mm.
And so you get there nice and early, maybe I'd say I was ready, like I was in the media center at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got time just to gear up, have a look at your spots. Once you're out there, maybe I'm out there half an hour before it starts, getting my position, figuring out what I want to do. You shoot the event. And then, so what I do is I rate my pictures. So either rating or tag, everyone's different. Mm-hmm. So I've actually programmed the key button to be like a star function. And so I'll go, if it's a good, you know, picture, one, whatever. But if it's something that I need, oh, that's cool, that will be something I'll take out instantly. I'll hit 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so straight away, once it's done, I either have my laptop or I have that little Wi-Fi dongle thing, either or, and I will say it's my computer, I'll chuck the card in, open up Lightroom. I know I'm like the only photographer, a sports photographer, that still uses Lightroom instead of Photo Mechanic. It's fine. My computer's really fast, it just works. Anyway, and so I'll press 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then my pictures are done. And so pretty much straight away, I will quickly edit something and send it to my team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's done. Once the event's over, and then once, if you've got someone, you've done that stuff, and then you might have another event that's really cool. And so as a athletics nerd, you know, I love the sport. And so sometimes I'll hang around, but, oh, that's happening, or that athlete's competing, or I want to take shots of that, or I want to like, oh, that could be a cool pan. I'm going to try that. So you do that just to make the most out of your session, because the sessions would finish at maybe 12 and the next one won't start till 7. So you make a call. What are you going to do in that time? You either edit, nap. Sometimes you go back home if you're close, or I would, you know, at times go to MPC, which is an hour away from the track via bus, go there, have a feed, hang out, go see Canon. Or you drop your gear again. And when you get home, there's key things you have to do before you go to bed. So you're pretty tired. A session will finish at 9:30, 10. So I'm going to finish at 10. So that's like quick turnaround in between the two. You go home. And so I'm really picky about backing up my files. So I have two of those lacy rugged drives. And so everything's on my laptop for starters from the session. And I'll go home and make sure I've backed up to both of them. One of them stays with me, one of them stays in my bag at home. And the theory is you're unlikely to lose both because they're in two locations. So the one on me, the rugged thing, so I drop my laptop.
Yeah.
It's still, I've got the files on me. The second one is my whole bag, shuck it in the river, I don't know. And then, or I get mugged. I mean, that's not going to happen in Tokyo, but that is something you got to think about.
Yeah.
Then my files are also at home.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't quite realize the amount of downtime in the middle there and the fact that there's just these like intense little sort of bubbles of intense activity for you around these two times, and then there's sort of time to sort of not even really like chill, but also like recoup and rest and like wait and get bored and all sorts of,
Well, that was just me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, my neighbor didn't have that. It depends on the job, because I was only covering for athletics and hockey. I had athletics in the morning, hockey in the afternoon. I used that time to get from one place to the other, which actually takes ages. Tokyo is massive. But I know some people, if they were covering for more teams, then they would shoot in that time and they'd just go.
Wow.
So I had a bit of a luckier run in that aspect.
Oh, cool. There's, I like what you said before there about the fact that no one was there to see it, like except like, you know, a very small amount of people. And like, did you feel any sort of added, I guess, pressure or responsibility to capture these games in particular because of that? Because like there was no one there to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. Like it was this weird sense of duty when you were there. Like that race as well, just sending it to everyone back home, like kind of having those moments that like I would try definitely. Like I definitely felt like I had to no one said this to me, but I felt in my heart I had to do this. Like, I had to illustrate what I felt being there, if that makes sense, in my work, which is a lot of pressure. And I did, especially for the Kiwis and their friends and family back home, like, I was delivering that emotion. Like, you see it on TV, which is amazing. The footage was amazing. But, you know, it's like that frozen moment.
Yeah, because the coverage is it's somewhat removed, and it's like it's showing you what's happening, but from a like documenting standpoint, you've got to, like, you've got to see everything, and it's very sort of objective, and it's non-emotional. Because I think the emotion of the games and what's happening comes through in the photography. Absolutely,
yeah,
you're there capturing those moments, that emotional, like, sort of freezing those emotions in time. Absolutely. As we sort of round out the show here, I've got a couple more questions, relatively big ones. What do you think the biggest thing you've learnt from your career so far as a sports photographer?
I feel like something I've learnt, don't get caught up in what you miss. That's something I've had to learn, and because, like, people don't know what you haven't got. That's the other thing. Whereas, you know, like, maybe there's a shot that you really wanted, but it's slightly soft. You've slightly missed it because someone's walked in front of you or something. I don't know. It's just to focus on what you did. Like, think about learning curve for next time, but it is, don't get too caught up in what you didn't get. And in a negative way, like, use it as a learning curve. Okay, next time I'm going to sit here, or I'm going to try this, or I'm going to change my settings to this to get this, rather than like, oh, I missed, you know. What else have I learned? Oh, another thing is, like, reacting and anticipating. It's kind of hard. So as a sports photographer, you do have to kind of anticipate what's happening in front of you, which is hard because you don't know it. And I think the only way I really learned how to do that is just doing sport myself.
Things are happening so fast. If you wait for stuff to happen and then react to it, it's gone. So
yeah,
that's absolutely you sort of just, like, predicting the future, basically going, like, this could happen. And if it does, it's going to be a banger shot. And so,
yeah,
it's that, it's like you're saying, reading the game, figuring out what's going to happen, making those decisions ahead of time so that when things do happen, you're there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And so I guess, like, last question to sort of, like, bring us back to the start of the interview, thinking about how you got into this world of sports photography. Do you have any advice for budding sports photographers interested in, you know, following in your footsteps?
I say, for any new sports photographer, kind of what you said before, with, like, a lot of times sports photographers are already interested in sport. Use that, like, use your connections. A lot of sports photographers are like me, the ex-athletes, or they've been involved in the sport previously through an admin side or something. Just use all those connections, because that's what I did. And New Zealand's really small, and so everyone kind of talks and knows each other. And sport in itself is quite a small world, especially high performance. Is a really small world in itself. Like, I've found I've been passed along a little bit among the sports, just because everyone kind of knows each other. Yeah. And then, and other than that, just get along with your camera, and maybe, like, a little, if you really want to photograph football or you really want to photograph rugby, like, maybe go along to a club game and go, hey, guys, like, the other thing is, don't be weird. Like, be friendly. You know, like, don't just sit in the corner with a 400 and just go take pictures. Like, that's, maybe don't do that. Go up to the team, whether it's before or after, or maybe even just message. Like, social media is great. Just slide in someone's DMs, like, message someone, like, hey, I'd love to take pictures of your team playing, would that be okay, and everything like that. And then already that has already started building that relationship. And telling them, I was like, you know, you can have all the photos. And most people will say, hell yeah.
Exactly.
Like, most people love photos, especially in this new social media age where, you know, content is key. You know, people would love to have free pictures of them playing. people. So start like that. Just get your name out there. That's the most key in sports photography, is getting your name out there. And athletes like people they trust. So if you're nice, you know.
It's advice and stuff that comes up like again and again around networking, people, conversations, like real, genuine connections with real people is what's going to make the difference. And exposure is fine as long as it's on your terms, I think.
You're one reaching out, doing it, if someone's coming to you,
exposure you know, is fine, like, on your terms, 100%.
Know your worth.
And why you're doing it, for sure. Cool. Well, amazing. That was fantastic. Thank you so much, Alicia, for telling us all about your work and how these games have been for you. It sounded like an absolute roller coaster ride. Intense. Such an amazing experience to go through.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ben. That was fun. And I hope I didn't say too much rubbish.
No, it was fantastic. There was loads of little gold nuggets in there. It was fantastic. Lots to learn.
Oh, good. Yay.
And so for anyone who's interested, we're going to have links to all of Alicia's work below. Maybe some of you will be going out and picking up some pink tape. Maybe not pink. Don't bite Alicia's exact
style. If you say, maybe a different
color. Tape up your gear. Try something cool like that. I'm sure all your friends will be coming out to like random photographers with pink tape all over their lenses now. Be like, hey, Alicia. I'm like, not Alicia. I'm just copying her stuff. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much again, Alicia. And we'll see you guys all next time. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
See you later. Bye.